Good evening once again, everybody. Here we are all together in the WORD Election Central headquarters tonight to bring you the results. And we're anticipating, even with the heavy volume that we think we experienced here in the upstate, that may be replicated across other parts of South Carolina as well. But we are anticipate results beginning to come in. And some of the returns have been as expected. I'm joined by Clemson University retired professor Dave Woodard, who's followed South Carolina politics for...
Too long, 30 years.
and has survived the experience. By Tara, of course, by Lee Rogers, who is back in the news center. Are you back there, Lee?
Bobby Max, right. Certainly.
And of course, Vince Coakley is joining us on the broadcast as well this evening. Hey,
good
Vince.
Good evening.
And we also have on the line R.J. May. He is a political consultant. And he's worked for a lot of campaigns here, everyone from Ralph Norman to Joe Uli Wilson. He is here tonight as well to give us the lay of the land. So.
Excellent. When will he be along?
He is on the line right now.
Oh, he is. Actually. Oh, okay, great.
Right now, Bobby Mack. Karen, team, how are y'all?
Hey, we're doing fine. RJ, how are you this evening?
Very well. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be with such a distinguished group of folks.
Oh, not so much.
Well, now, here's what's interesting, because now RJ has just emailed me, and he thinks that the Democrats take slight control of the House. But Professor Woodard, you came in here with a prediction tonight that the Republicans maintain slight control of the House. So I'd like to kind of hear from both of you.
Well, history
Dr.
shows
Woodard, if you don't mind, I'll start by saying I hope you're right.
Oh, I hope I'm right, too. history shows that the party in power in the White House usually loses around 20 seats. Now, that doesn't help us very much tonight.
Starting from behind.
Right. But I think you expect to lose some. As to whether or not you can switch control, I think that's a little harder to say. But we'll have to see what the Trump effect is in House races. That's just – and nobody knows. I don't know. I don't know what anybody knows.
Yeah, it's interesting, Dave, that your prediction was similar with mine from yesterday, that I thought the GOP would maintain a razor-thin edge in the House and retain control and pick up perhaps 4 to 5 seats in the Senate.
Yeah.
RJ, what are the jungle drums saying to you this evening?
Well, on the House side, as Dr. Woodard said, the party of the president normally loses seats in the midterms. Only twice has the president's party gained seats. That was 2002 with Bush and 1934 with FDR.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I think that Democrats will take the House, but only slightly, is because this is the second biggest GOP exodus of sitting lawmakers via retirement since 1974.
Yeah, that hurts.
You add in other reasons of people moving on to different seats or whatever, and Republicans are looking at defending 40-plus open seats previously held by Republicans. So that's a very large number. And then if you look at the data a little bit more back from 2016, Democrats need 24 seats to flip the House.
Right.
25 seats are held by Republicans that Clinton won in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side of that, there are only 13 seats held by Democrats that Trump carried. So at the end of the day, I think that math is a little bad for us conservatives and Republicans. And
yeah.
I think the Democrats take it, 218, 219, 220, somewhere around there. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Dr. Woodard's right. I hope you're right, Bobby Mack, and Republicans maintain control of the House. But well, no, I think it won't be tonight. I think it'll be more like tomorrow morning or later this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right. I agree. The only reason I say that, RJ, is this. We look at these historical presidents at legacy numbers from previous elections. But I wonder, in the era of Trump, if those still have the same kind of validity they had before when we had a normal politician. You know what I mean? We didn't have the Trump effect.
Well, I think it's all over the place. I mean, let me give you some stats here, Bobby.
Yeah.
So unemployment's at 3.9%, give or take,
right.
Which is the lowest unemployment rate approaching a midterm since 1966. But what happened that year is LBJ lost 47 seats in the House.
Mm-hmm.
We've had higher unemployment approaching a midterm, but the president's party lost less seats. So, for example, in 1986, we had a 7% unemployment, but we only lost 5 seats. In 1990. The president's party had the unemployment was at 5.9%. They only lost 8 seats. Approval rating, let's take a look at that.
Yeah.
Right? Trump's in the low 40s. So that must mean there's a blue wave coming. Not necessarily. Obama lost 63 seats and had a 44% approval rating.
Mm-hmm.
Carter had a 42% approval rating, 1978, but he only lost 15 seats. So no one's going to know until these votes are cast. And if these campaigns are pretty good, they should know pretty well right now where they're sitting and how they're doing. I know the campaigns that I've worked on will know pretty quick after polls close, because we have people sitting at the polls calling in numbers to us, and we kind of know
right
where we are at the night. We're about to see the fireworks right now, 8 p.m. You know, we've got a lot of states closing. The ones that are kind of interesting are Michigan, Missouri, New Jersey, North Dakota, Tennessee, and Texas. We've got some interesting Senate races there. And on the Senate side, I think we get to 53, give or take. Mm-hmm. There are 42 GOP senators who have no election. Seven additional seats are safe or lean Republican. Wyoming, Utah, that's going to be Mitt Romney because Orrin Hatch is retiring.
Right.
Deb Fischer out of Nebraska. Ted Cruz, he's going to hold on to that. Texas is not going to vote for old Beto. Mississippi, you got two elections there. In Tennessee, we'll take that. And then Heidkamp is toast in North Dakota.
Yeah.
So that gets us to 50, right? With Pence as a tiebreaker, we're
right
at 51.
Right.
These 6 to 9 toss-up seats, the real fireworks happen in Florida, Missouri. I think Josh Hawley takes it.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana, Arizona, I think Martha McSally's got to take that. Nevada, and those are where the fireworks happens. And luckily, most of those states, President Trump won. The only one he didn't was Nevada.
I want to interject here, by the way. We've got some interesting news that's just come in as we talk about the balance of power and what happens with the House and the Senate. We have the first loss for Republicans tonight. Democrat Jennifer Wexton has defeated Barbara Comstock, the Republican incumbent. That's in Virginia's 10th congressional district.
Crucial.
56% of the vote tallied. Right now, it's showing 57-42. So this is pretty much a wipeout for Comstock. She is toast. That
although
race
that
has
was
been
the
called
weakest of the,
this
the
was
Republican
expected
toss-ups. Yeah,
this
and
was
it was
expected
actually kind of baffling as to why many people said baffling as to why the Republican Party even put money into that district to begin with.
And
so
it's
I'm not
going to
say this is a big indicator yet. I want to see some other races.
That's an area of the country where I grew up, Northern Virginia. And when I was a kid, it was solid Democratic, but it was old-time yellow dog Democratic. And then, of course, in the Reagan era, it became solidly Republican. But with the growth of the federal government.
Government class.
Yes, right. All of those government workers, and they live in Fairfax County and Arlington County and even further down towards Leesburg and all the rest, all the way down towards Richmond and Petersburg, in fact. They turned it first purple, and now apparently that whole area has been turned blue. And unsurprisingly, Tim Kaine, we saw on Fox News earlier, has also won re-election. So
did you see the numbers just in on Fox News for DeSantis versus Gilliam in Florida? 49-49.
Tied up.
Well,
yep.
That's good for Republicans.
I'm shocked by that, though.
RJ, let me ask you before we go, Beto against Ted Cruz. Beautiful Ted, as the president referred to him when he was down there. Is this going to be the most expensive loss in political history?
Probably. it's going to hurt. I don't know why or how Democrats think they have a shot at this one. Texas,
me either.
Texas is pro-gun, pro-free market, pro-life. There's no way they're voting for a radical liberal. But back to Virginia 10th, Barbara Comstock, that was one of those districts that Clinton carried over President Trump, actually carried it 52.2 to 42.2.
Yep.
Romney back in 12 just barely squeaked it out, 50.8 to 49.2. As you said, expect it.
Yeah, suspicions confirmed there, huh?
RJ, we just saw some numbers for Bratt in Virginia. He is actually slightly up.
That's good.
It's a Republican there. Good. We'll see. We don't know what part of the state's coming in right now. So
right.
Right.
What big surprises, if any, do you see on the state front, RJ? Is this all relatively predictable as we believe?
I think so. I mean, there's 124 seats in the legislature, all of them up for re-election.
Right.
But the sad part is only 55 of them face opposition.
Right.
And of those 55, there's only a couple that are competitive or could even be competitive. There's one district in the entire state where there's an incumbent rep that's a Republican, but Clinton carried in 16, and that's Kirkman Finley here in Columbia. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have much opposition. John Kringle, the ethics guru, is running against it, but he hasn't really ran much of a campaign. Now, on the flip side of that, there are seven districts held by Democrats that Trump won. And District 42, that's already going to flip because the Democrats didn't even file a candidate. That's Mike Anthony's former seat. Mm-hmm. District 44, Manny Powers Noroil, she's staying because Republicans didn't field a candidate, nor did we file a candidate in 61, 90, or 55. And those are all seats that Trump carried but are currently held by a Democrat. So,
wow.
You know, those are going to stay. But there are a couple interesting races. So we do have a challenger in District 52. That's Lori Funderburk versus Penry Gustafson. Penry is the Republican candidate. In District 97, which is Patsy Knight versus Mandy Kimmons. Trump won both those districts by about 21 points. So we should probably see a couple of seats flip there. And, of course, we've got the special election for District 20 for the Senate here, also in Columbia,
right,
which sees Dick Harpootlian versus Benjamin Dunn. So that's going to be an interesting race. I think Benjamin Dunn pulls it out, even though he's been outspent by a very large margin. Of course, that's the old seat of John Corson, who had to leave because of his ethical problems there.
Right. Yeah. Columbia is still a part of South Carolina. Am I correct in thinking that, RJ?
Just barely. Yes, sir.
Great. We got to take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back with more. 17 after 8 here on WORD and our election
Thank
night.
Thank you, RJ.
May
appreciate you joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
And Vince Coakley here with some very interesting news to share with you. Before we go back to our conversation, I've got a number of very intriguing items going on from across the country, starting with this.
Mm-hmm.
NBC now projecting Donna Shalala will flip a House seat in Florida. This is a race where she is apparently, according to their information, going to replace Florida Republican Ilina Ross Lintinen. This race, you know, it's everybody remembers Donna Shalala back during the Clinton administration.
Yeah.
NBC calling this race for her. Another person, does the name Kim Davis ring a bell?
Yeah, vaguely.
Kim Davis, she is the one who refused to sign the marriage certificates for gay couples
in Kentucky.
She has lost her seat.
Oh, boy.
She has lost her position of clerk in Kentucky. This is bizarre to me that you would have a loss like this in the state of Kentucky. But nonetheless, that has just happened just a few minutes ago. Also, I noticed, Tara, you have been talking about this Dave Brat race. This is very interesting because they're getting really close to the end here. I think they're in the 70s right now.
They were at 90% in Fox News. Yeah.
They're up there.
And it was
49.9 to 48.9. Yeah. That is horribly close for Dave Brat in that particular district.
You know,
49.9 to 48.9.
I would have hoped that Donna Shalala would still be busy sending small children back to the hell of Castro's Cuba.
Well, no, she's bringing them here to vote for her. It's different.
Oh, my
goodness. Oh, goodness. What are people thinking? I mean, seriously.
Really? Really?
If I were a Democrat, she would not be on my list.
No.
At all.
No.
It amazes me. But these folks seem to have a, you know, they've got an eternal history in politics. I mean, we got Mike Espy back.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know
where
it.
Did these
it's
people?
Like, you know, they've got a half-life like nuclear fission, for God's sake.
That was good. Like that one.
It's the only thing they've ever done well in their life.
Yeah, right. It's truly incredible.
Meanwhile, a new Project Veritas video out. Unbelievable. A Texas election official. They send somebody in pretending to be an illegal immigrant dreamer.
Of course they do.
And say, hey, can my boyfriend vote? He's an illegal immigrant. She says, sure. And she asks over and over, well, you know, are you sure he can vote? Oh, yeah. As long as
no
he's
problem.
Registered, he can
yeah.
vote. And then she says, we do it all the time
with
illegal immigrants
great.
On the video camera, which is helpful.
Jeez. Wonderful. Yeah, and by the way, if you don't have any relatives that aren't here yet in your chain migration, go ahead and vote for them as well. Because
just
we
send
know
their name
we know how they would have voted anyway if they were here. My God.
Future votes.
Yeah. That's what it is in New Mexico.
Oh, jeez. Truly incredible. Well, you know, there, every couple of years when politics rears its ugly head, you know, we get some of these stunners, you know. I mean, Donna Shoela, she had such a distinguished career as a chancellor at the University of Miami.
That's right.
You know.
Especially with the football program.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. It, you know, some of these just make you shake your head.
God help us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I say.
Well, meantime, we were talking about Project Veritas and this guy Gillum down in Florida. You think he's not a hardcore lefty? And, of course, they've been they all try and, you know, they undergo a hypnosis therapy before they send them out on the road. And the hypnotist just repeats over and over to them, I am a moderate. I am a moderate. And until they get the mantra down, and then they send them out on the road. But this guy, Omar Smith, is a weight of the Gillum campaign staff. Once the Project Veritas video hit the web, he was immediately dispensed with. But listen to some of the stuff that he says about Gillum. All right.
Fairy tales in the modern day begin with once I am elected.
If you didn't catch that, he said, in the modern day, the fairy tale begins once I am elected.
I don't see, just can't say, but I do think he's not saying specifically like I'm going to bam bump stocks or I'm against ARs only because he's running a race right now. I do think he would support anybody doing that stuff. Bill Nelson.
Right, that's all I'm worried about.
Whatever, whoever the next person may be.
I just wish
he can say it just because he's trying to get the moderates and the gun-toting people in Florida.
He's trying to get the moderates and the gun-toting people in Florida. And it goes downhill from here.
All right, this is a bad state.
Okay.
It's a cracker state.
Okay.
Okay, ask anybody outside of here. You go to Port St. Lucie, Orlando. Man, them crackers ain't going to let us do that.
Come on, goodness.
No, you crazy?
So, what is he doing?
He's campaigning. He's politicking.
So, you're saying that different environments, wherever he speaks, he'll address a different audience.
Yeah, that's what a politician do.
We went to college together.
You did?
Yeah.
With him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how you know him?
Yeah.
All right. So you were fighting all the good fights together?
A couple of them.
Do voters know that?
That's not for them to know.
Huh?
That's not for them to know. Remember our saying? Modern day fairy tales start with once I am elected.
That's not for the voters to know.
By the way, that would have destroyed the Republican candidate.
Oh, gee, forget
Absolute
it.
Destruction. Yeah. It would have been run on a loop.
Right.
And the fact that Gillum, again, is under FBI investigation. And right now, they're in a photo finish too close to call with DeSantis ever so slightly ahead of them. They're both like 49%. I think, I don't know, DeSantis 49.6.
How much is
what? Yeah. It was very high, though. It was most of it was in. But here we go, 93% in.
Wow.
DeSantis, 49.6. Gillum, 49.1. Please, God, is it okay if I pray on the air?
Sure, why not?
Please, Lord, pray with me now. DeSantis must win Florida. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Rick Scott used to keep those voter rolls clean. And Florida comes down to the razor's edge. And I'm telling you, it's going to take just a little bit of fraud. And believe me, the Democrats will do it. And without somebody to keep those voter rolls clean, Trump's going to have a hard time winning that state.
Well, I'm going to add something else here for another prediction. Mark my words.
All right.
If this man wins, if Gillum wins the race for governor, I would not be surprised to see him very soon run for president.
Oh, yeah. Right. Neither would I.
And what's a little FBI investigation when there's a Democrat involved? I mean, we can't hold that against them.
It's a mark of bragging in the Democratic Party.
Right. Yeah.
Besides, the FBI will take
badge
care
of
it.
Honor.
They'll That's take right. care of it. They always take care of it. Yeah. We've seen that.
By the way, Elizabeth Warren has won re-election, cruises to re-election in the People's Republic of Massachusetts.
Yes.
It probably was the Native American vote that put her
Pocahontas.
Over the top.
Pocahontas came out.
Liar Watha.
Right. The whitest woman to hold that seat in terms of Indian blood. I don't know.
I'm looking at a picture of her now, and she's got pretty high cheekbones.
Can you? I'm sorry. Can you imagine if a Republican said, "Well, I believe that I'm Indian because I have high cheekbones and I look like those people." Right. I mean, can you even imagine? They would have resigned in shame ages ago because they would be, you know, down in the polls 20 points.
Yeah, but Democrats have no shame.
That's true.
Got to have a conscience first.
Yes,
missing in the DNA. We'll be back.
Once I am elected.
Well, this is nuts watching Florida, and we have DeSantis versus Gilliam, literally 49-49. 49.6 and 49.1.
Well, we'll find out if there is a God tonight.
We will. I mean, I suppose we will, right? I'm joking. There obviously is a greater plan,
and my suspicions on that quarter were confirmed 2 years ago in November. So, you know, Trump won. I wanted to ask you, Professor Dave Woodard. He's retired from Clemson as the a political science professor, head of that department, and reviled conservative on the campus. is that a fair description?
Reviled.
Yeah. You know, because
not revered.
No, in the ivory towers of academia, if you're a conservative, you know, you're a somewhat unwelcome commodity. But I saw this story yesterday, and I mentioned it at the end of the program today, Professor Dave. This is from the Washington Times. Senator Lindsey Graham, Lindsey 2.0, so now call him. Senator Lindsey Graham said in an interview Monday that Attorney General Jeff Sessions may step down after this week's midterm elections. Quote, Jeff will probably step down. We'll have a new attorney general most likely early next year, said Graham, South Carolina Republican, South Carolina Rhino. The senator, who is said to be angling to lead the Senate Judiciary Committee next year, it's a powerful committee.
That's right.
Also dispelled rumors he's interested in becoming attorney general, saying he would prefer to remain in the Senate. And again, I quote the esteemed senior senator, and people ask me about being attorney general and other jobs. I will be in the NBA before I leave the Senate, and I don't like my chances. Now, I don't think he can dunk.
No, he can't.
His jumper is probably a little lame as well.
The problem about politicians oftentimes is it's hard to end their careers because they don't want to end them in defeat.
Well, let's ask Donna Shalala about that, shall we?
But trying to go to some other place, university president or something like that.
Yeah.
And you wonder how Lindsey can go out. And usually they like to get a position in an administration that has some prestige with it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a great position. I mean, it would be fitting that Lindsey would be considered.
Couldn't he just walk into a big, powerful Washington law firm?
Yes, certainly could. Just set up there and do it.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, though. Sometimes when you leave the levers of power and you can't get to them anymore, it's a different life.
Well, yeah, because you don't have the TV cameras, you know, screaming for an interview. Oh, Senator, please talk to us. Please talk to us, you know.
That's right.
And you get used to that, what's the word I'm searching for? Ego gratification.
Well, and see, he's single, so he doesn't have anything else to do.
Yeah, it's true.
So it gives him something to do to get on TV. And I mean, and a lot of people, you know, are drawn to him on TV. But I tell you, being on TV as a senator is one thing. Being attorney general, being secretary of state, that's completely different.
Yeah, that's very true.
And it's hard to find any adoring press out there on that.
Yeah, no kidding, especially when you're in an administration that has R's behind
that's
their
right.
names. We're still continuing.
Looks like he's pulling away a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like Ron DeSantis is now extending a little bit of a lead with how much of the vote is in?
89,000, 93% of the vote is in. DeSantis is up 89,000. Rick Scott has just extended his lead. He's now up a point.
Good.
And they're at 93 in that race, too, 93%.
So maybe Donna Shalala will be the outlier here.
I would like Dave Brat nice? Is up
She's
now,
the
too.
Outlier.
But the Democrats have already had a net gain of 2 in the House. They have flipped 2 Republican seats.
Well,
one of which, as I pointed out earlier, I don't know why it was ever put up in the toss-up category. I mean, it is in an area that I would argue is blue. So I'd look at that as right now as a net gain of 1 for the Democrats. That seat was always going that direction. I wouldn't look at it as an indicator of where the whole country is going. The other seat is not good. Net gain yet in the Senate, we just don't know yet. It's 0.
But things are looking good. In some states.
In on the text line, guys and gals, James Carville, You remember him. It's the economy, stupid.
The raging Cajun.
Snakehead. James Carville just stated on BSNBC, there's not going to be a blue wave.
You think?
I just hope we can win the House if only by one.
They might win by one.
They might win.
Hold on just for a second here. No, wait a minute. I went back and looked at this on LexisNexis. The blue wave coverage, because I was thinking it was about 6 months old in my memory, right? No, the heavy blue wave coverage began in January, where they told us as fact that the blue wave was coming. It was coming. There's nothing you could do. We were going to all be washed over by it.
Right.
You know, and this is, and I mean, we have had a year of this.
Yeah.
Where is it? You know, I mean, they just make stuff up. When they don't even know what they're talking about.
You can run a poll in January that'll say anything you want to hear.
You sure can. Yeah, I mean, a million things will happen between now and then, as you guys were both saying.
And I hope at the end that the blue wave sounds something like this.
Swirling around the bottom of the bowl, yes.
Also in on the text line this evening, can Bobby do an acceptance speech for Governor Henry McTaxter?
Yes, let's hear it.
Oh, yeah, please. Because, you know, if you were listening early in the night, you know that no matter what happened in that race, Bob will always be my governor. I voted for him.
Because Tara did write me in.
I did. Yeah. I wrote you in. And so I just want you to know that before you give your speech.
All right. Thank
you. Okay, good.
I greatly appreciate it.
So you know.
My fellow South Carolinians, it is with a great deal of pride and pleasure to announce tonight that I have been selected by you to be your governor for the next 4 years. And let me assure each and every one of you, including those cheerings in school, that I intend to make South Carolina butter.
Butter.
Thank you.
Much butter.
And good night. That's right. Thank you for that. Assist on my speech. Much butter in the future.
You know, you eat too much butter, it'll kill you.
Yeah, I know. Bad for the cholesterol.
Wow.
Jeez. Well, race for Florida governor, too close to call, says Fox News. Ron DeSantis, 50%. Andrew Gillum, 48.8%. It's astounding. Well, there's Juan Williams on there. He's going to... I can hardly wait to hear what Juan
is. He'll straighten us out.
Yeah. He's a refugee from NPR. Jeez. Texter says, Lindsay for UN ambassador. Get lapdog Lindsay out of South Carolina. Yeah.
That would be awesome. We'll send him to the UN.
Yeah.
Get him a nice suite there. He doesn't ever have to come home. Right? And he's a great speaker. He really is talented. I mean, and you know what was frustrating? I mean, when you look at the Kavanaugh hearings, you saw the sort of shadow of what Lindsey could have been.
Yeah.
He is a very talented politician, and yet the pure political dynamics of it. I mean, where is this person? This person actually would have done better than 1% with a 2% margin of error in South Carolina in the presidential race.
And Dave is old enough to remember when Lindsey Graham went to Washington as a firebrand conservative.
I ran his campaign in 94.
What? See, there you go. It was you?
Yeah.
Yeah, off with his head, out to the parking lot.
When he went to the House, he was a firebrand conservative.
On his record, yes, right. I think the thing about Lindsey Graham that's sort of the key to him is that he wants to get something done. So he's always been the first to go across the aisle and do all that.
Right.
And he expected that there would be reciprocity from this. He said in his little talk, some of you are my friends, I've worked with you, and he did. He worked with some of those guys. And they just turned around and bit him, and he thought that was over the line.
That's what led to the anger in the Kavanaugh hearing, wasn't it?
That's right.
That he felt he had been betrayed.
They
brought up Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, and he was tough on them in the hearings, and then as the Constitution suggests. Yeah. The Senate had given its advice and consent, and he voted to put them both on the court. I don't think he necessarily liked either one of them, but he felt as if a Democrat president had nominated them, and if they couldn't find any legitimate ground to disqualify him, then okay, go ahead and put them on the court. And then when we get Brett Kavanaugh up there,
Who clearly is spotless for anything you wanted to look at.
And look what happened.
And they just savaged him.
Yes.
And he said he'd never campaigned against one of his colleagues before, but he will now.
Yeah.
I wish he'd started doing that 10 years
well,
ago.
Well, you and me both. You and me both. You know, it may be a day late and dollar short, but we'll see. You know, there's a lot of time between now and 2020, and we'll see if he continues to navigate to starboard as Lindsay 2.0 or whether he reverts back to his friends across the aisle.
That's right. Well, he has the best instincts of anybody I've ever seen in politics.
He's very talented.
He can read people where other people cannot read him.
Right.
But I think he was really genuinely hurt by this, and it shows.
Yeah, he took it personally.
He did. Yeah. And the reason why is he had worked with some of those guys, and they just turned on him.
I'll tell you one thing. You do not want Lindsey Graham as an enemy.
No, you don't. He's very effective.
And he's got a long memory.
He does.
Like an elephant.
Yeah, he does.
Speaking of local seats, and we'll take a break here and then we'll come back. We'll see if we have anything on the replacement for Trigatti. We're assuming that Timmons is going to win there, but we'll see if we have any finality to that race as well. When we come right back to wrap it up in our last segment here this evening.
Good evening. Well, we will be wrapping this up in just a few, but of course, nationally, not wrapped up. I'm Tara Servatius, checking in live, Bobby Mack, and of course, Vince, emceeing your trip through the midterms.
Vince, you'll be happy to hear Andy Barr won his House seat.
I just saw that, just coming on to the scene right now. They've just made that call.
Do you know Andy?
I have met Andy a couple of times, yes.
Yeah. He's a pretty good guy, isn't he?
Seems to be.
Yeah.
Seems to be okay.
He is.
You know what? I was just going to make the comment. It's kind of interesting here looking at how some of these races have, we're getting more numbers in. I mean, think about it. Some of the polls here have been closed for almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
And we still don't have a lot of calls. I mean, it's part of it's counting, and some of these races are just way too close to call.
Well, and we're seeing the same thing here. In fact, I just checked with Lee Rogers back in the news center, and I said, anything on the District 4 race? And he said, no. Conway Belangia, who's the director of elections here, said that they just now, within the last 5 minutes, have received everything from all of the precincts. And I'm not surprised at that because I was getting text messages and emails right up to the conclusion of my show at 7 when the polls were about to close that, you know, some of these places had 25, 50, 60 people in line.
Wow.
So
it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. So
lots of energy.
Yeah. Some of these people may not have even voted until 7:30. And then, of course, you know, they have to take the cartridges out of the machines and physically drive them down to election headquarters. So it's still going to be a while here, apparently.
I think they've underestimated the turnout.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough machines, people working.
Yeah.
It's just they went by what had happened in the past, and they found out that this is.
Yeah, they different. Were overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think so.
I was trying to recall earlier. I had a conversation with Conway about this a number of years ago, and it seems to me, if memory serves, that he had told me in a midterm election, if they got a 20 to 25% turnout, that they considered that pretty good. Does that number ring a bell with
that's
you, Dave?
That's a little lower than I thought.
Really?
But still, that's all people who could vote.
Yes,
probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think what's happened is the media has changed the electorate, and the electorate now participates at a higher level than they did in the past.
Boy, that's a good thing.
And I think so, too.
Yeah.
But I don't think some of the officials have really caught on to it. They're looking at past statistics, and they don't see that.
Right.
And that was the same way where I was when I voted today. Same thing. 7 o'clock, the guy told me, said he came in there at 6:30.
Right.
There was a line. He said at 7 o'clock there are about 50 people in line.
You know, I heard that on multiple occasions today that when the polls opened at 7 o'clock this morning.
7 o'clock.
That there were 50, 60 people lined up waiting to vote.
And I drove past the place when I was coming here. It's at around 6, a little after 6. It
right.
was still packed out.
Yeah.
People outside. We had 5 or 6 machines in a very small precinct over in Seneca. So the point is that I think people are going to have to recalibrate.
You know, it's interesting because a study of military history, the next war is always fought with the tactics and the strategy of the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, that's one of the things that the legislature apparently is going to be working on this year is that they are talking about adding more So we're getting some new machines now. As to whether or not they'll be adding more, that's a whole other question.
Right.
But I recently did an extensive interview with Conway Belangi on this very issue. And we are very close to getting new voting machines, which quite possibly could have a paper backup as well.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. Am I correct in assuming, I read this somewhere, I believe, a number of years ago, that the machines that we use in South Carolina are ones that were actually rejected and they stopped using in the state of Ohio?
That's possible, but that's not that unusual because there were several different models and several different brands that are used across the country.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that we have in South Carolina now, I believe, are about 15, 20 years old.
Wow.
Conway was
2000.
Well, Conway was letting me know that it wouldn't be even possible for these machines to have been connected to the internet because they don't have the technology to do so.
Right. Yeah. Right. Although there was a risk of people being able to actually hack the machine on site.
That would only be possible if you hack the individual machine on site, which means you would have to be there at the precinct,
right,
and you would have to be opening a machine in front of poll managers and God and everyone.
Yeah,
I mean, the possibility of actually hacking into the machine is almost non-existent.
Yeah, would be you'd need like Ocean's 11 to be able to pull that off.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting. The Florida Senate race, too close to call. The Florida gubernatorial race, too close to call.
We may be looking at recounts in those and lawyers and the whole nine yards.
And as
probably.
We mentioned earlier in the program, there are still all the ballots that have been mailed in.
All right.
And in places like California, we could be talking about those at least seven House districts out there that could hold up the eventual tally to determine who's going to control the House for, who knows, a week or more.
Well, you'll be interested in this. The AP has now called Jim Clyburn as the winner in the House race there.
Boy, there's a shocker.
Who could have seen that coming? Yeah.
Call the media.
Yes. Yeah. And his first action is to give more money to South Carolina State University.
Yeah, and he's going to have Louis Farrakhan back for another visit now that he's returning to the country from declaring death to America in Iran.
In
Farside, no less.
Another one, not a surprise, Jeff Duncan has been projected the winner in the District 3 race.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I have to admire. What's her name? Mary?
Mary Guerin.
Yeah, Mary Guerin. Isn't she like a retired airline pilot or something?
No. That was the previous candidate.
Oh, that's right.
This lady is...
I'm one cycle behind.
She's a teacher at Tri-County Technical College, or was. She was an English professor. Has some pretty extensive experience in public education.
Oh, I was thinking it was still the same woman.
No. That was the previous two cycles.
I was going to give her kudos for running against Jeff Duncan two or three times in a row.
Yeah.
You know?
No, this is a different victim and same result.
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty much. Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch the remainder of the evening. Here at the top of the hour, we will, of course, be going over to Fox News, and they will continue to track these very close races. And as we said, some of them won't be decided until the wee hours of tomorrow morning or maybe even beyond.
Yeah, Bobby Mack, you and I have been in here a lot of times.
Yes,
I think
we have.
This has turned out to be a happier night than some we've had together.
Well, and thank God for that. Because
we feel like South Carolina is safe. I don't know about the rest of the country.
we experienced Obama election night one and then Obama election night two, or Obama redux, as we like to call it. And both of us were ready to go home and stick our heads in the oven and turn the gas on and not light it. Let's hope that we'll have a happier conclusion tonight.
I think we will, too.
Vince, any parting thoughts?
Well, I was just looking at a few of these races here before. I don't know what's going on in terms of updating this information. I know, Tara, you were mentioning what's going on with District 1. Be keeping a close eye on that. The Katie Arrington race.
Right.
Very little information on that right now. Looks like she's ahead. Joe Wilson ahead. Jeff Duncan, that race already been called. Ralph Norman so far showing ahead. So I think one of the things we can safely say, pretty much what we were saying toward the beginning of this broadcast, we're not expecting a blue wave here, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Dave, didn't you work with Ralph Norman on his campaign?
I did, on one of his earlier campaigns that he lost. I think that we have pretty much safe for the GOP in this state. In many ways, I think Democrats really have an uphill road. In talking to the press this year, the national mood was so anti-Democrat in South Carolina, there was no chance a Democrat, I think, could win.
I see only 8% of the vote was in the Michigan Senate race, and Debbie Stabenow is leading John James, who is a terrific candidate. I think maybe is the best Senate candidate in the field this year. He's an African-American guy. He's a West Point graduate. He served in combat in AFPAC, came back and started a small business and has grown that. He's just he really is a real deal and a legitimate candidate. And if Debbie Stabenow is able to beat him in Michigan, that would be a great loss, because I think John James would be a terrific addition to the United States Senate.
Absolutely.
Now, Michigan, every county can vote Republican. Wayne County can vote Democratic.
Right.
It's all over.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that the truth? It's kind of like New York State in that regard, right. Isn't it? You know, Detroit. It doesn't matter what, you know, Albany, Schenectady, Troy. Well, thanks for, you know, for the use of the hall. And now here's New York City, and we
right.
wipe everything out.
That's right.
Oh, man. It's incredible. Texter suggests get the people that do the Grammys to start running the polls. Or perhaps... How about the people that cast the Oscar ballots? They could do a lot of the a lot of this polling data as well. They have a great track record in that regard.
They're on TV. I see a lot of actors telling people to go out and vote. Of course, you know how they went out and voted.
Yeah, so. We do. Well, it's been fun being with you this evening, and I'm sorry we didn't have more hard results, but as you might expect, you know, with the massive turnout that we saw across the upstate today, it's going to be a while. But
can I give you some quick good news?
Quickly.
They've called Indiana for Mike Braun, the Republican.
Yes.
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 That's great.
Yeah. Democrat Joe Donnelly trying to fend off Mike Braun in a state that Trump won by 19%.
Should not never happen.
Continuing results in our news department, and, of course, on Tara's show in the morning.
Amen to that. Yeah, I'm going to go home, get some sleep, get fired up.
There you go.
Sleep? What's that?
And Vince will be with you midday, and I will see you tomorrow afternoon.
Thanks a lot.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.